Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is Mike Kegley. Tonight we will have Steve Sturm along with Matt Stevens on. We're going to talk about recruiting. Of course, Steve Sturm writes all of the football recruiting spotlight articles for us, played college football, and he'll tell you he's one of the few linemen who never allowed a sack. And we'll have Matt Stevens, of course. He's our Illini Guys staff writer who covers football all year long, and he covers a lot of other sports all year long. We keep him busy with all the different sports that University of Illinois offers. We'll be right back after this.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480. 800-961-2480.
It's a real treat to have everybody here. We're going to talk a little bit about the June recruiting update. We realize that obviously the 2025 class is not a finished product right now. We'll talk about where they're at. But Matt, before, during the break, we were talking about the job that Brett Bielema and the Illini staff have done in the transfer portal. Maybe you can take us through a little bit of what they got and some of the importance, and then Steve can follow up with some of his thoughts.
By far, it's the best that Illinois has ever used the transfer portal in the history of the Brett Bielema era. And look, I know that that bar is something that I've argued you could probably walk over if it wasn't, we're talking about quarterback. But they didn't walk over the bar. They fully leapt over it. I mean, it was an impressive job in the portal as a program coming off a 5-7 season could possibly have. And just to highlight it, you know, what they were able to do in terms of not only filling needs, but having some of their high-end talent now be guys that came into this from this portal class. And what do I mean by that is, well, they needed a left tackle that they felt great about. Well, they went and got in the portal and got JC Davis, who's probably going to get drafted if he had come out in the draft and never went in the portal. I think he was a 6th or 7th rounder as an offensive tackle from New Mexico. And then he instantly becomes, I think, one of the top 5 or 6 offensive tackles in the Big Ten. Somebody that he definitely thinks he's going to get drafted, and he's banking on the idea that Brett Bielema and Bart Miller can help him get drafted higher. I think it's a good bet. But they were able to moneyball the heck out of that because that's not a big price that they had to pay for somebody that I think is a cornerstone left tackle. They didn't have to pay a lot of money for that. I thought what they did with Cole Rusk was important because you lose Tip Ryman and you have the ability to figure out somebody that can maybe be a pass catcher. I'm going to nitpick the hell out of this roster come August. You know I am, but like, it's the one nitpick I have in the offense right now is that when they put the tight end on the field, you kind of know what they're going to do. Because if Cole Rusk is on the field, they're not going to run it. And if Henry Boyer is on the field, they're not going to throw it. At least they're not going to throw it to the tight end. there's a really good chance they're going to run the football. But I think you needed that element out of Cole Rusk, somebody like Cole Rusk. It's a take that you take. It's family bleeds orange and blue. He's been an Illinois fan his whole life. His dad wrestled for Illinois, and was an All-American that wrestled for Illinois. And so, and he's a local kid, so you just take him. And he succeeded at the FCS level at Murray State. I think it can translate. Cool. Great. Wonderful. And then I think, you know, what they also did and kind of picking and choosing the tier at which they are in the portal was really, really solid for Illinois. Dennis Briggs Jr., I think, brings a level as a 26, 27-ish old player. 24-year-old player, seventh-year player. Somebody that I think can come in and start on your Big Ten defensive line. And if he comes through a whole year healthy, I think he can make an impact. I think they made some inroads with, you know, I think Melvin Priestley is going to be your starting right tackle out of Grambling. And again, that's a money ball pick out of Illinois where you go, well, maybe this kid can help us. And then you get him in the spring and you go, wow, like this kid is just violent and nasty and mean. And my God, if we run the ball on the right side, I think he's going to basically be able to plow the road. Like they know that right now. And so I think he's got a leg up on being their starting right tackle. So you took your two tackle positions and it was a total question mark going into spring. And then what you got out of the portal, it's not a question mark anymore. Job well done. I think that I'm not as high on Gentle Hunt because I just don't think he translates as well as T.Y. Edwards can. But I think he can play snaps for you, and you needed somebody that can do that. So kudos to them for finding a guy that can help them. Again, at the FCS, you know, level at coming out of Florida A&M. I think, and then, you know, the big one is, you know, I think Terrence Brooks and then the two big ones are Terrence Brooks, which solves a problem for you because everybody who saw in the spring and the spring game, corner was not something that was solidified at all coming out of spring. And suddenly Terrence Brooks at least solidifies one side of that for you when you can just slot him in at corner and say, hey, this is what your job is. And you were an all Big 12 guy at Texas. And from a financial standpoint, Brett Bielema knew this was going to cost money. And I don't have any doubt that there's a good chance Terrence Brooks is the highest paid player on this roster right now. And they made sure to do it before he could take his official visit to Michigan. And then finally, after 2 years of recruiting him, Zachary Franklin is now an Illinois Fighting Illini. And that was the dream of Barry Lunny when he got here. You know, I've told the story on our exclusive, you know, member material on our boards, that Barry Lunny sat on the couch of, you know, the future quarterback of the University of Illinois when we were all in Tampa. And Luke Altmaier was looking him straight in the face, and Chad Altmaier and the whole Altmaier family was looking him straight in the face on their couch. And Barry Lunny said, hey, look, I'm not going to lie to you. You're not our top priority in the portal. Zachary Franklin is our top priority in the portal. And they loved hearing that. They thought Zachary Franklin was going to be a Fighting Illini last year. There were admissions problems. There was money problems. Ole Miss solved the admissions problems. And because they already had the money problem solved, and suddenly Zachary Franklin became an Ole Miss Rebel. The problem with Zachary Franklin is he showed up at Ole Miss with a knee injury that had happened at UTSA, and he never got it cleaned up. It's not a ligament tear, and so I'm told it's an easy cleanup. I'm told that by the father of the head of the quarterback who did that for 20 years for Mississippi State Athletics, that it's an easy cleanup and it should have been done before that. He tried to play with it, shouldn't have. But then once it became a problem when in fall camp at Ole Miss, he knew he was only going to play 3 games because he had to preserve the year of eligibility. And so they think they have their number one receiver in Zachary Franklin. Barry Lunny thinks he has his number one receiver in Zachary Franklin. And that's the way that they are treating him right now, is that you're going to come in, you're going to start, and you're going to be a primary, you're going to be a primary receiver and a primary target for Luke Altmyer, like you should have been last year if we'd have gotten all this figured out. So, they hit their two big ones right after spring was we need a guy that can be a primary outside receiver. Done. We need somebody who can be a cover corner that can at least we can feel good about one side of the field and a corner. And I think that they have a host of guys that they can put opposite of Terrence Brooks, but the world becomes a lot easier when you have a Terrence Brooks that they feel like can be a really, really good cover corner in the Big Ten Conference. So again, Brett Bielema and his staff deserve a lot of credit for being able to look at this portal class and say, you know, this portal year and say, hey, we've got a lot of stuff we got to get accomplished. And I think they got almost every box checked. And I was really impressed by what they did in this portal season.
Steve, how did you feel about what things went on with the portal?
Well, first I'm gonna start off by mentioning a guy Matt missed, Kevin Wigginton out of Michigan State. You know, we picked up a starter from a rival Big Ten school that's more or less at our tier. And I think the reason Matt missed him is that as of right now, he isn't necessarily guaranteed a starting job. When we signed him, he sure looked like he was going to be a fixture at right guard or right tackle, which is where he played at Michigan State last year and played very well. I was almost as excited to add him in this portal season as I was JC Davis, because I have a very firm belief that, you know, I've rarely been misproven on, and that's that in college football, physical maturity and experience wins. And in this portal era, you can add guys who have experience playing opponents at a high level, not necessarily playing at a high level themselves. For instance, like a Cole Rusk, JC Davis, etc. You know, they're moving up for a very good reason, and that's that in this portal era, the NFL is really only looking at players from P4 schools. I think I saw that maybe there were six players from FCS schools last year, and the players from mid majors that are getting drafted are diminished greatly over past years as well. But anyway, just to finish up, though, Illinois is looking at having 7 of their 22 scrimmage starters be transfers next year. And I'm including Wigginton because I do believe he will be starting probably at left guard as things stand right now. But Matt's going to say, but Josh Geske. And I'm going to say, well, maybe at center. And Matt's going to say, but what about Kreutz? And when you look at right guard and Zy Chrysler, they've spent a whole lot of time developing him, and he's been well established. He'll probably be the right guard. So wrap all that up, and you got a situation where, believe it or not, Mel Priestley, when he exploded on the scene without really having a spot, guaranteed for him, he's created a real problem on the offensive line. And God bless it. It's a great problem to have if you're an Illinois fan, because all of a sudden we have too many offensive linemen, whereas coming into the portal season, it was looking like he kind of having to, you know, make just a little bit of a hold your breath, a little bit of a guess situation at a couple different spots. But now we have an experienced and talented left tackle, which my information is the same as Matt's. JC Davis was going to get drafted last year, but he figures by, you know, getting a year in the Big Ten, facing elite players from other Big Ten schools, he can now put on film. He hopefully can put a film together that gets him into the upper tier rounds, which frankly just isn't going to happen if you're at New Mexico this day and age. As far as Zachary Franklin, I mean, it's really nice to have a guy who's got that experience. Obviously, UTSA is not going to be at the high level that we were talking about, but all of us Illinois fans remember when he torched Illinois that one night, and UTSA has played a fair number of good opponents. And then, of course, when he was at Ole Miss last year, he played some good opponents as well. So there's reason to believe that he'll be effective at the Big Ten level as well. And I mean, Brooks was just such a huge addition for us. We needed to fill that spot after we lost two corners in the portal, you know, getting an experienced guy who's an elite prospect who, again, is probably going to be, who's an elite prospect coming out of high school, but he's probably was going to get drafted, say, had he come out early, but now he has an opportunity to improve his stock, you know, and as Matt pointed out, put a little money in the bank too. So very happy with what they did in the portal. Dennis Briggs, I think, is the key to our season, though. He is, if he can play the number of reps that we want him to and stay healthy, then all of a sudden you have a difference maker from the defensive end position. And he, to me, he's the one, he's the only one who could be a difference maker at the defensive end position as things look right now. So everybody cross your fingers and, say a little prayer for Dennis Briggs because we need him.
Yeah, we will do that because certainly the importance of a dominant defensive lineman has been demonstrated quite clearly over the last couple of years. So let's talk about that 2025 class, and we'll talk about the June signees first. And I'd like to start with Desmond Stroughton from Roseville, Michigan, who just committed here a few days ago. Matt, let's talk a little bit about him, and then Steve will follow up with his thoughts.
It's a Corey Parker special. I truly believe this young man was going to play. Let me put it this way. Wherever Corey Parker was going to end up this offseason, Desmond was going to basically commit to that school. I think that that's pretty safe to say. He's a Corey Parker special and a guy that he's known for a long time. He does a really good job of recruiting that area after having been a head coach for almost a decade and a half in the suburban Detroit area. The only qualm about him is that I think he missed his window. And what I mean by that is he missed his era. Because I think 10 years ago, he would have been a guy that everybody would have wanted at safety. And because everybody wants to play a more compacted game of football. Now that we're more spread out, I think that he has some trouble in the sense that, I mean, Aaron Henry is going to use the argument that I think he runs faster in pads than when he does in shorts and a t-shirt when we time him. And because when they timed him, he's not a Big Ten player. But I've seen this story all the time where they time a kid and he times bad and you go out on the field and he just makes plays. And that's what they're banking on. That's what Corey Parker's banking on. He pounded the table for this kid, and it was a kid that I think that they did not want to get further down the road on his recruitment at Michigan State, because I think he ends up a Spartan, and I think Jonathan Smith ends up with a safety in his first full recruiting class at Michigan State if Illinois continued down the road with not offering him, not taking him on an official visit, not bringing him into camp. They hadn't have done all those things and gotten aggressive. I think that they probably are looking down the line to another prospect, instead of getting a commitment from this young man in June that at least solidifies what they think they are at the strong safety position.
Well, this man had 14 high major offers, I think I saw. I think I saw 14 high major offers based on that film. You watch his film and you can see big hit after big hit after big hit, and you can see why people would be excited. But you look on the film as well and you go like, he didn't actually get from point A to point B very quickly. And you can see, why it is that the high majors were backed off of this guy who plays at a really good program in Detroit and got plenty of attention. So I think you need to think of Des Stroughton as a 220-pound player because he runs like a 220-pound player, but he also hits like a 220-pound player. So Illinois seems to be a good kind of fit for him as a safety in that we kind of mix and match skills at our safety position with whatever the best three players are. So if you can line them up near the line of scrimmage and limit the amount of coverage responsibilities for you for him, maybe treat him like an outside linebacker, I think you got something. Corey Parker obviously knows what he wants, and I'm sure that he's consulted with Aaron Henry about this as well. So hopefully it works out. Obviously, like all high school recruits, it's going to take a while before we see it. I just as a personal preference, I like a guy who has a little bit more athletic ability. Even if it's say it's not just about the 40 time, I'd like a guy with a little bit more burst. At if we're taking a high school player, but like I said, this guy he clearly has abilities. Illinois is not the only one that saw it, so hopefully puts on maybe a little bit more weight so he can truly take on blockers and stuff like that near the line of scrimmage, and hopefully we have a successful player a couple years down the line.
Yeah, maybe he'll be like Dion. I always thought the thing about Dion that was amazing is he really looked like, I'm not saying he was faster in pads, but he really looked like he was the same speed in pads as he was in shorts and a t-shirt. So we'll hope for that. And see if that time holds true with 30 pounds of pads on. The next guy is Isaiah White. And of course, we've talked a little bit about out of Indianapolis, Ben Davis High School, a place that all three of us agree that Chicago, St. Louis, and Indianapolis should all be fertile grounds for the Illini to go fight for players. It's nice to see a defensive tackle or defensive lineman coming to Illinois, because that has been a surprisingly hard position for the Illini to fill in the Brett Bielema era. So it's good to see that coming. What do you think specifically about Isaiah, Matt?
I'm surprised he's not staying home. I would have thought, and I still think, that Kirk Cignetti over at IU is going to try to make a play for him. I don't think that this is done. I would be shocked if Ryan Walters isn't trying to figure out a way to get into that recruitment, even though Illinois has a commitment. I'm a little surprised. But one of the reasons I think that Indianapolis is going to be harder and harder for Illinois to get a foothold into now is that Kirk Cignetti has made a point of emphasis with his friends Eli and Lily to try to close that border off as much as they possibly can. And Ryan Walters, I mean, look, for the next however long Ryan Walters is in West Lafayette, that staff and the Bielema staff in Champaign are going to go head to head on a whole lot of prospects. It's just going to happen. And so there's too many like minds in both of those buildings that they're going to go after the same kind of kid. So what do I like about him? I think he's a big, strong kid that I think can actually get even bigger in the way that, you know, in a sense that, you know, kids are always at this age and at that position show up at, I'm talking about like maybe like the Keith Randolph showed up at 270 pounds. When Keith was at his peak, he was at 300 pounds. And by the time he gained 30 pounds of muscle, became essentially looking like the Hulk, and then played his best football in that kind of body frame. I kind of see the same thing out of Isaiah White. I think he's going to show up here at 270 pounds, and I think he's going to be at his peak in about 18 months later, if not 2 years later, at somewhere close to 300 pounds on our defensive line. And I think that Illinois has to have, you know, developmental guys like this. But I think the clay at which you're developmenting Isaiah White is very, very mobile. I think he's somebody that I think Illinois should go after. He's a prospect. He's a three-star prospect that I think Illinois should take, and he should be somebody that I think can be make an impact on your defensive line as an upperclassman. I don't have a whole lot of I don't say a whole lot of doubt, but I have a lot of confidence that that can be the case. I see a lot of similarities in between him and Keith Randolph. If I would love for him to be able to transition to defensive end, other than just have to be shoehorned into the nose position. I don't think he has to be that, especially in the you know, formation and the way that Illinois likes to play defense up front. I don't think he has to. I think he can play any of the three spots. And if that's the case, and if that's the way that Terrence Jamison wants to train him, and knowing JMO like I do, I think he does like to train guys that way. I think he could see his best football anywhere on the defensive line. And I don't think it necessarily has to be necessarily at a tackle. I think it doesn't have to be at a nose. I think he can line up in an odd man front as a defensive end and make an impact. And I think if Illinois chooses to do it that way, the fact of the matter is that I think Terrence Jamison's one of the best developers of defensive line talent in the Big Ten. And I will get to this later, but I just wish he had better talent to mold in terms of coming on campus. And if that starts to happen, I think you're going to start to see a lot of guys make an impact the way that Johnny Newton made an impact after his first 2 years in Illinois. And then he got into this new system and really started to show what he could do and what he could be potentially at Illinois and then at the next level.
Well, my take on Isaiah White is that, especially with Davion Chandler breaking my heart and flipping to Indiana, he's not only the first Indianapolis recruit that we've had in, I know I looked this up when I wrote the article on Chandler, but what's been 8 or 9 years since we've had somebody from Indianapolis at all. Adam Solomon was the last player from Indianapolis to sign with the Illini out of high school. So number one, getting into Indianapolis again at a power school, that's big. But even if he was from Springfield, let's say, he also would be the best defensive line recruit of the Bielema era. And that's a little bit of a backhanded compliment because we really have not had good recruiting on the defensive line, as Matt was alluding to. So I'm really, really happy that we got him. Like Matt, I really, really hope that we keep him. He's a little bit of an odd fit in that he's not only just a little bit short, but he has short arms and legs as well. So his ideal position probably would be like a 4-3 defensive tackle, which is not a position in Illinois. So he's going to be somewhat of a tweener between nose tackle if he gets big, or maybe a little bit of a shorter defensive end if he doesn't get big. But either way, this is a guy who can really be a difference maker. If you line him up in the middle of the field, he can beat some guys off the, he can beat some guys, he can make some pass rush moves, and he can make some plays in the backfield, which is what we really need. Angelo McCollum and he, to me, are the two guys that we can have some hope for from the high school recruits in the recent Bielema era, as far as being difference makers down the line. So great, great recruiting there. And let's just, again, all cross our fingers that he still signs with the, or sorry, that he shows up in the fall of 2025.
Yeah, and what we're alluding to is earlier today, Davion Chandler announced that he was going to decommit from University of Illinois and commit to Indiana. Obviously, this happens much more often in the football world than it does in the world of college basketball, where it'll probably become a thing, but it isn't nearly as prevalent. And Illinois had a pretty good wide receiver there who's, at least for the time being, is going towards Indiana. And maybe that's how Cignetti is going to do some of his stuff, is go after commits left and right. I don't know if that's exactly how I'd go about my job, but if you have the Eli Lilly dollars behind you, it may not matter. Sometimes you do that too often and people start holding grudges, and that karma can bite you later on, at least when you're at an Indiana. It's a little, karma doesn't bite you at Michigan or Ohio
State. It's been my experience that in your first public appearance at Assembly Hall in Bloomington, when you tell everybody you're going to kick their ass, I don't think he's worried about grudges. And I think he's burning every bridge he possibly could. And I think you can talk to anybody in the Sun Belt and talk to anybody who has dealt with Kirk Cignetti that if you want there to be a jerk in your league, he is fully happy to put on that black hat and do that. And I think the guy in Bloomington has decided, hey, look, I just told 18,000 or 16 to 18,000 people at Assembly Hall, I don't really care who you are, I'm going to kick your ass. And he said that on day one. And so when you say that kind of stuff on day one, you're going to start taking recruits. And quite frankly, I'm just numb to it because I saw it every single day I covered the SEC, is that a kid's recruitment wasn't done until he got on campus.
Matt knows my theory all too well. And that's that it's not a matter of nice guys finishing last in college football. Is that there's not enough nice guys to even worry about creating a sample. Like,
yeah,
it's hard to find somebody who isn't right out, you know, isn't going to go no holds barred, you know, this is war, and just flat out do everything they can with or without, you know, inside or even outside the rules in college football. You kind of have to accept that you are going to lose players under any sort of circumstance, and you got to be ready to add players.
I agree. You're going to have to do that. And like I said, we'll see where it all falls. It's a tough league. Next up, Cameron Brooks. So here we've got an Illinois native, Homewood Flossmoor. What do we think of him, Matt?
The first thing we think of is that our friends at 247 have now made him the number 10 ranked player in the state in the 2025 recruiting class. So guess what? Illinois has a top 10 player in the state in the 2025 class. Yippee. Here's what I think about Cameron Brooks. I think he's going to be a really good player. I thought he was going to be a really good player in whatever school that he went to in the Big Ten. I think that Illinois made a really big effort to keep him home. I think his athleticism and his ability to just kind of, for him to kind of use whatever length he's got in his body already at a very, very young age makes him a very, very attractive prospect. What I'm about to say, or what I will say throughout this whole podcast about Illinois' inability to recruit defensive linemen, and quite frankly, the in-state defensive lineman in this class, and we'll get there, has nothing to do with Cameron Brooks. I think that he has all, if not all, most of the tools you would want if you're Terrence Jameson and you're Brett Bielema and you're Aaron Henry. And I think that he was a no-brainer take for Illinois. I think he was a no-brainer aggressive, recruit on their board for Illinois, and I'm glad they got him. And I was just very, very hopeful, and we'll get to this later, but I was just very, very hopeful that Cameron Brooks might have been able to bring some of his friends in state as well. And that doesn't look like that's going to happen, but that's not Cameron Brooks's fault. I think he has the ability to play in the Big Ten. I think he has the ability to play defensive line at a high level in the Big Ten at Illinois. And I think as an under-recruited, undersold, underappreciated kind of guy that Brett Bielema kind of loves, I think he has the ability to be somebody that can be a high contributor at Illinois on the defensive line, again, by the time that he reaches his third year. Maybe if he's a third-year sophomore or if he's a third-year junior at Illinois, I think that he has the ability to be a high-level contributor in the same way that – maybe not in the same way as Johnny and Keith, but maybe in the same way of, I think it's one tier below of what you're going to get. I think you're getting a Bryce Barnes on steroids is what you could be getting out of a Cameron Brooks. Again, if they play him at the defensive end position, it's just, and he could get to that level. He could get to a Johnny and Keith. He could get to a Bobby Roundtree, potential level. But I think that the proper thought process here is by the time he reaches his third year at Illinois, he should be ready to start and he should be ready to make an impact and contribute on a Big Ten defensive line. I think that highly of him. And I think that that's why 247 and our friends at other internet recruiting ranking sites are starting to move him up and up in this class in Illinois in the 25 class, especially with the in-state kids.
So Cam Brooks, I mean, you can almost see their thinking right away because, like Matt said, he's from a power program in the suburbs where we haven't really made any inroads in a long time. I think I didn't look this up, so I'm kind of testing my memory here. I think we haven't had anybody from that school since Russell Ellington back in the Zook era, maybe Shupo Sani. I believe that those two were a package deal from Homewood Flossmoor. So, it's a program that we haven't broken into in a long time that is going to produce high level Division I recruits every year. So it's nice to be able to break in there. And there's no question that Cam Brooks is a Big Ten player. I think he had 5 Big Ten offers, Iowa being the top one, and he makes perfect sense as an Iowa recruit. However, I think Illini Nation is going to have to temper their expectations just a little bit. He's not a real good athlete. So he dominates those offensive linemen opposite him. He wins, he gets positioned to be able to make plays, but he's not going to be the guy who bursts into the backfield drops somebody for a loss. He's not going to be a pass rusher unless he gains a lot of weight and then becomes a nose tackle. I could actually see him being very, very effective there. But as of right now, he's in the 250, 260 range. I remember writing the article just from reports in the last year. You got him saying he's 240. You got him saying he's 280. I found a radio interview with him from just a few months ago saying he was 250, so that was kind of what I was going with for now. But if you look at him, he has the frame that he could actually get up in the high 290s, 300, and then you could have a great nose tackle on your hands right then. If not, then you're probably looking at it, again, I hate to agree with Matt all the time, but I think he is looking at a much better Bryce Barnes, somebody who's going to hold the point of attack but not really stand out in any way, which, is kind of what Iowa was after, which is, I'm sure, why Iowa was offered him real early. Plus, Iowa's, gotten lots and lots of recruits out of Homewood Flossmoor over the years. So they probably offered him really, really early in the recruiting process. So nobody should be jumping up and down about Cam Brooks, except when you consider that Illinois' defensive recruiting has been lackluster. He actually looks pretty darn good in comparison. That's my take on him.
Yep. And of course, we had Davion Chandler, who obviously, as we said, decommitted, very talented wide receiver.
He was my favorite out of that.
What made him your favorite?
Oh, just he had NFL athleticism. It was just a matter of size. And again, it's a game. I hate to go over. It seems like every article I write, it's all about, I have to write a paragraph about how big is he really. And there were some reports saying he was like 5'9 and 160 and all that. I don't actually buy that. I think he's closer to 5'11, but he really had the quickness, the smoothness, and I mean, I don't know what his 40 time is, but it's got to be in the low 4.4s. So that's a guy who's going to be a difference maker on the Isaiah Williams level in college. And I really, really hated to lose him. He was the guy that kind of opened my eyes right away. I know they've got some guys in from Florida that they're looking at, but as for how we're going to replace him, boy, I hope that they have a plan for it. I'm sure that they're, the recruiting process for 2025 still has a ways to go. So hopefully we'll figure somebody out. And of course, Braden Trimble is a really good player too. So
Right.
it's not like we're in trouble there.
Illinois has developed to the point under Brett Bielema where we finally have a roster that's fairly deep. You don't have this one guy gets hurt, at least as a general rule. Of course, there are differences in quality of players, but one guy gets hurt and the whole house of cards just collapses. So the roster is much deeper now. So what is this? What is the next step that the Illini football program needs to make to help pull the team up to that level of success? Because as Josh Whitman spoke to the Illini media, he talked about a red line. And so let's think of the standings, at the top of the top of the list. You have Ohio State, you have Michigan, Oregon, and then as it goes down the list and you get down to the bottom of the Big Ten at 18, and you can pick somebody to be there just for fun. We'll say Indiana, but maybe Cignetti will put them up to Ohio State's level. But let's just say down to Indiana. Well, Josh Whitman talked about how nothing's guaranteed, even for a founding Big Ten member. And he's worried that when you snap the red line, wherever you snap it, whether it's in the middle of the Big Ten or wherever that line is, you want to make sure you're above it so that you make the cut if there's any more consolidation. So if that's the goal that the Illini have, is to make sure that they improve their performance so that Illini football stays a Big Ten member or a super whatever member, no matter what happens, what has to happen in recruiting to allow that?
Sign better players.
Okay.
Like, it sounds really easy, and I know that it's not easy, right? But look, Mike, you talked about, like, is Illinois above the red line for the Super League? I don't even think we need to make it that complicated. Mike, we sat in the same room with Josh Whitman, and the man said annually the goal for our program should be to try to get into the 12-team college football playoff. I am of the belief that that's not going to stay 12. I am from a school that is an FCS school, where when I was in school and when I graduated, the FCS playoffs was 16, and it is now 32 as we stayed here in 2024. I am not a belief the college football playoff is going to get smaller or stay the same. I think it is going to increase. The amount of teams that are going to be in that thing are going to increase. But let's assume we stay at 12 for a while. All right. I still think Josh Whitman feels like being on the bubble for that, last spot, at large spot in the college football playoff is something that Illinois, and he has talked to Brett Bielema about this, that needs to be annually something that we have as a high-end goal for our program. And everybody was like, well, yeah, sure, he has to say that. Guys, in 2022, they would have been on the bubble for this. Okay, let's just be real about this. There's going to be a group of five member that's in it. So if you're in Illinois, you have to be in the top 11, essentially. If they beat Michigan or they beat Purdue or they don't dump the game, the home game against Michigan State in 2022, there's a really good chance that come Selection Monday after the conference championship games, Illinois in that world would have been on the bubble to one of those last college football playoff spots if we'd had the 12-team playoff then. I know that's hard to believe, but I went back and looked at the college football rankings, college football playoff rankings, like before the conference championship weekend. And Illinois was right there. They were
Yeah,
right
exactly.
there. And so I think that that's a legitimate, reasonable goal for Josh Whitman to have. Here's the problem. They have not, in the Brett Bielema era, when it comes to either high school, and I think Look, Mike, I'm not going to repeat myself, but like if they continue what they did in the portal this offseason, every offseason, that's portal progress that you can point to and say that's a college football playoff contender, what they're doing in the portal. I believe that. I believe that that's what they did this offseason. So if they continue to do that in the portal, I mean, they can consider themselves a CFP contender. But what they're doing in high school right now is not a CFP contender. And it hasn't been in the Brett Bielema era. And Mike, you know, you've heard this stat from me. Steve, you've heard this stat from me. Since our friends at 247 have adjusted their in-state rankings in the 2024 class to include our friend Cam Brooks, I now have to increase it by one. But if you take the top 10 Illinois in-state recruits from the 2022, 2023, 2024, and 2025 classes, that's four classes, that's 40 players total. Illinois has signed two of them. Cam Brooks would be the third if he ends up at Illinois in the 2025 class because he's now number 10. That's three of 40. That is unacceptable, and it is not something you can do as a CFP contender in your home state. That is an unacceptable. That is two of 40 would be five per. You're getting 5% of all of your in-state top end level talent. And why am I mentioning that? I'm not mentioning it to kind of kick Illinois when they're down. I'm saying to you that if Illinois, the next step for Illinois is to start building up the high end level talent of your football program, because you've built the depth up to a point in which I think you feel like you're on solid footing. But the high end level talent doesn't even reach the middle of the conference right now. It just flat out doesn't. And when you're not getting the high end level talent in your own state and in your own area, you cannot expect that will translate into getting into the college football playoff, because all of those teams that do really, really well in their own state and do all really well in on early signing day now end up being contenders of the college football playoff. It's not an accident that when 247 puts up that ranking of, you know, here's what the talent ranking is of the top 20 teams in college football based off of the recruiting rankings. Sure enough, a lot of those teams end up winning their conference. They end up, you know, in the four-team playoff, they were end up competing for the four-team playoff, and they're going to end up competing for the 12-team playoff. And Illinois needs to get more into that world. And I could give you examples of like a Nathaniel Marshall and a Chris Burgess in this 2025 class where Illinois needed defensive linemen really, really bad, and they're going to go to Michigan, and they're going to go to Notre Dame, and they're going to go to Missouri. And Illinois has got to get in that world. They have to get into that world. Ron Zook got into that world, and it didn't end well, and it didn't start well. But in the middle of that, you were going to Pasadena. And I think that's the next step for Brett Bielema, is to get that top-level talent that you're getting out of the high school world or even the JUCO world. You've got to compete with the big boys in your league. Because if you're not going to compete with the big boys in your league in the recruiting, you're not going to beat them on the field. It's just not going to happen. And I'm asking Brett Bielema to do something that's incredibly hard. I get it. But I don't mean to scream the Don Draper line. That's what the money's for. We pay you the money to do that. And you know what? I'm not telling Brett Bielema or anybody else in the Smith Center something that they don't already know and that they already believe and that they already think is a high priority item on their list. The top end talent at Illinois has to get better. And the only way I believe that can get better is either by one of two ways. You either get them in the high school program and you get them into one of the better developmental programs I believe is in the Big Ten, and that's in Champaign-Urbana and in the Smith Center. Or you try to do what Brett Bielema has said to do, and you keep the file healthy and you keep the file in your cabinet. And when they want to go in the transfer portal, you get them then. That's the only way I see it happening. Because I don't think you can continue to play the underdeveloped, underrecruited, underappreciated game and finish anywhere higher than 8th, 9th, or 10th in the new 18-team Big Ten that's got a whole bunch of big boys that are ready to eat you alive. And I think that everybody in the Smith Center knows that. But that's, Mike, you asked what the next step is. You asked what the step is that Illinois can get on the bubble, you know, every now and again in the CFP. That's where you get more guys like, you know, Caden Fagan. You get more guys like Malik Elzey. You get more guys like the top end talent in the 2025 class that's not going to come to Illinois. And that's the concern I have, is that when we look at the top 10 lists and we look at these top players in Illinois and we look at these top players in Indiana and we look at these top players in Missouri, we've got to start seeing more orange and blue on their offer list. We've got to start seeing more orange and blue hats at the table when they pick a school. We've got to start seeing that. And if you don't start seeing that, you're not going to see as many wins as you want at Memorial Stadium. That has always been translatable, no matter what the era has been, and 2024 is no different.
So I'm not one of the people who thinks that we need to lock down the state. I don't care that we get guys from, one of the top 40 from the state or zero of the top 40 from the state. But like Matt was saying, what we need to do is to get more difference makers. You compare our roster in this era to Ron Zook's era, and it couldn't be any more different. Ron Zook's era, you had all the flashy guys who were elite recruits, fantastic athletes, and you had terrible development. And you had all kinds of off-field problems, which meant that you were kind of guessing day to day who was available that week versus being in criminal or academic trouble. And you had, week to week, they were changing guys position to position and simplifying the offense and defense just because you didn't even know who you were going to. And we have the opposite of that now. We have a very professional approach. We have guys staying in the program for several years, learning similar skill sets, developing through the excellent strength and conditioning program. So, we have the opposite of that. But we need to find a way to get one of the two to get that other element, those elite difference makers. And I'm not even talking about like coming up with a, the random guy who can run a 4.3 and you're teaching him how to play football. I'm talking about getting the elite guy out of high school who already has a little bit of cachet. Now, in the Zook era, of course, we got some guys out of the public league in Chicago, and that's still been effective for Illinois. We've gotten a couple of 4-star players out of the public league in the last couple of years. And of course, Central Illinois is still pretty loyal to the Illini. We've gotten a couple of good players, Trimble this year, and of course, Fagan last year. So it seems like we're in good shape there. But the next step is going to be to do what Zook did and lock down some urban area, preferably a close one. It'd be nice if we could lock down the south suburbs of Chicago. It'd be nice if we could lock down the Catholic League of Chicago, although Notre Dame, I'm sure, would intercede if we try to do that. North suburbs. However, if we could lock down the Catholic League in St. Louis, if we could lock down even one of the football factories in Indianapolis, we need to do something like that where we are at least, like Matt said, a hat on the table for a 5-star player every signing day. We need to at least be getting that level. We need to be getting a situation where we at least have the first offer, the first heads up for the next great player that's coming along at Cardinal Ritter in St. Louis, for instance. We need to be getting elite recruits. We need to be getting difference makers to fill in with our, okay, so-so solid starter types. And I just don't see enough of those on the roster right now. Luckily, we did have a few that hung around from the Lovie Smith era, but I just don't see where we're getting that next one coming along. And we're going to need them because, like Matt said, this is now the deepest of the deep end of the pool that we're going to be looking at in the coming years with the new powered up Big Ten. So we're going to have to recruit more like the rest of the current Big Ten does. That's my take.
This is where the wasted 20 years of Illinois being a sub 400 winning percentage under Ron Gunther kills, because you have created a generation. You've lost a whole 20 years of Illinois being good. And then you have a Mike Thomas saying, hold my beer. And so you basically have from 92 to 2023, you've got three good seasons. They had some highs, Sugar Bowl, Rose Bowl, and even a couple of years ago when they were on the cusp of maybe going to a Big Ten championship game. It's kind of funny because if you were a high school coach and you started coaching football in 1995, you haven't really seen much out of Illinois over those decades, not years, not decade, but decades. And now the Illinois coach happens to be Brett Bielema, but he's got to go up and change that. Meanwhile, that same coach for 20 years has watched Iowa walk all over Illinois. They've watched Wisconsin. They've watched Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame. You know, I mean, it's just, and now they've got to figure out how do you compete with these guys, and they're going to have to vault up a level and punch out of their league to get some of these players. Is it easy? No. Does it have to be done? Yes. That's the challenge. That's why Brett Bielema gets paid the money he gets paid. That's why Brad Underwood, when he took over the dumpster fire that was left by the end of the Weber era and then the whole Gross era, Brad Underwood had to fight through some tough years and recreate the Illini basketball program. And now it resembles the good old days of Bill Self going into Weber era. It resembles the good old days of the 80s basketball. And Bielema's going to have to find a way to do that. You know, he's talked about, and Matt's brought it up, he's talked about he has to find his IO. He's got to find his guy. And that's not easy, but that's what they have to do. And so when you hear us talk about what's going on with the football program, Brett Bielema's performed pretty well, especially if you compare him to Illinois coaches in their first 3 years. We're not asking you to compare him to Ohio State coaches in their first 3 years. That's a different program. It's a different thing. Bielema's done really well. Now he's got to take it to that next step. And it's not easy, but with the way college football's going, the pressure's on. The days of the Ron Gunther stay in the black, don't get the NCAA mad at us, and be competitive with no definition of what the word competitive actually means, that's no longer working. Now it's big boy football time, and Bielema has done a good job so far, and now he's got to keep evolving and getting there. And I'll tell you, the last few games of the last season, when he was willing to throw the ball around, it may not have been what he wanted to do. It may not be what he's going to do, but at least the fact it showed me that if back against the wall, he could do something different than hand off 47 times. So yeah, I'm gonna let each of you guys have a last word, and then I'll wrap this up.
I just want to express to everybody, every one of our subscribers, that I understand that what I'm asking Brett Bielema to do and take that next step is unfair. It's probably the definition of unfair, because like I'm asking him to beat Michigan on Nathaniel Marshall. I'm asking him to beat Notre Dame on Chris Burgess. I'm asking him to beat Georgia on Tylon Taylor. I'm asking him to try to do that. I'll just make two points to our subscribers. They get frustrated with me because I'm so negative about Illini football and the thing that I cover. I'm not negative about it. I have a high level of standard, and I have a high level of expectation for what I think this program can be. And what I think Brett Bielema can do with this program if he's given better talent. I have that. And the reason I have that is because I can point across the street, across Kirby Avenue, there's a building called the State Farm Center, and there's a guy whose name is on that floor, and his name is Lou Henson. And in the mid-70s and the late-70s, Lou had to do this. Lou and his staff had to do this on the basketball side. They had to figure out a way to get into Chicago, and they had to figure out a way to get the high-end talent in the state to come to Illinois, and in the area to come to Illinois. He had to figure out a way to do that, and he did it, and his name's on the floor. And I think that if Brett Bielema does that, his legacy at Illinois can be really spectacular. Because I think Illinois, if they can get, you know, one out of every 10 of these guys that they look at that are high-end caliber guys to come to Illinois, I think Illinois, with the player development and what they're doing on the coaching side in the Smith Center, I think that Illinois can be a 7, 8, 9 win program. I think that Illinois can be a college football playoff contender. I'll just say it. I do. They have the resources. They're going to start using them. Thank God. I believe they have more resources to use. I believe they have the development to use. I believe they have the facilities to use them. I believe they have alums that want to support the program. If the program is at a place where I want it to be and where a lot of other people want it to be. I have a high level of expectation for this program because I know how good it can be. When I was growing up and John Makovic was going to bowl games and going to January 1 bowl games and had Illinois on a really, really good path before he left off for Austin, Texas. I think Brett Bielema can be that guy. I really do. I think Josh Whitman thinks that Brett Bielema can be that guy, which is almost half the battle. I think that what they did in the portal this year was incredible, was extraordinary. I think it allows Illinois to think about what kind of bowl game do we want to play in this year instead of trying to avoid the depths of a 3 or 4 win season. I think that's what they accomplished in the portal. I'm now asking you to accomplish it with 17 and 18 year olds. And I want to also point out to everybody before I sign off and I get handed over to Steve, because Steve and I just feel differently about this topic. And I don't even know if we feel differently about it. I would like for there to be more players in the 2025 class. I'm just telling you, Illinois fans, this class isn't going to be ranked real high in the recruiting rankings because it's not going to have a lot of players. And because, you know, total of amount of players does affect how you get ranked in terms of those team rankings right. that you see right. on those sites. I'm just reminding people of that. If you're going to have a 15-player recruiting class, your recruiting class is probably not going to be as high, especially if you're out in Illinois. I'm just letting people know that. But this is going to be a smaller class. What disappoints me the most about this 25 class right now is that I thought because you were going to have a smaller class, maybe the high-end talent could be a goal that you could go get. I do think if you go to IlliniGuys.com and you go on our message board and you see the recruiting class, thread that we have on there and you have in the basically where we track the recruiting class tracker on 2025, you're going to see some guys that I think that can make an impact if they were to choose Illinois and have been on a visit. And I think that Justin Stepp on the wide receiver room is going to be able to adequately replace Devion Chandler. I really do. So I don't think that this 25 class is dead in the water or anything like that. I think that there was an opportunity that was missed that I now hope doesn't get missed in 26 and doesn't get missed in 27. And I'm telling you right now, they're already looking at 28 kids that are entering high school. And I know this because, you know, Steve mentioned Homewood Flossfoot as not a big, site that has gotten a lot of talent coming into Illinois. Well, one of the best players in the last 20 years at Illinois, or most notable player in the last 20 years at Illinois, his son now goes to Homewood Flossmoor. Juice Williams' son now goes to Homewood Flossmoor. And so I think that Illinois has a foothold into that school. And that's I think that Cam Brooks understands that when he commits to Illinois. So the tide is turning very, very slowly. It was turning very, very slowly when we would talk about this in the portal. I just don't think it can be slow. Mike can appreciate this on the basketball side. Every day that you're slow to act in basketball recruiting, it's like a week that you're behind everybody else. And I do think that this Illinois football operation is behind a lot of people as we enter the college football playoff era and the 12-team college football playoff era. But it's not irreversible. I do think Illinois can have a really, really good college football program. I do think they can be in the CFP rank top 25 rankings annually if they put this together. I do think that that's possible, and I do think that they can play a major role in the recruiting classes in 2026 and 2027 and have themselves a really, really nice finish to this 2025 class. But if they don't, you're just not giving Brett Bielema enough bullets to work his magic in this new Big Ten, where there's just not an easy game anymore. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you're in the Big Ten or you're in the Southeastern Conference, your schedule is going to be hard. I don't want to hear about it. And I think that Brett Bielema knows that. So the talent level's got to get up there. And I think that it can. I just hope that it will.
Well, I will say the last 6 months has been tough for the Illini. The spring season, was could have been worse. We had a lot of good players develop. It looks like, we're going to be able to put at least a good program on the field. Our portal entries were impressive this year, not only because we didn't have a lot of money, but also because we were able to sell the Big Ten. We were able to fill holes. We were able to add, like I said, experience. Everything's great. However, I believe that based on last year, we are also seeing a lot of positives. Sorry, I forgot to mention the negatives. We did lose some players in the portal this year that they wanted to keep, which the previous one of the strongest things, the best compliment I could have made about the Brett Bielema era so far had been that we were keeping every player we wanted. We had that family atmosphere that everybody mentions. Nobody's leaving. Everybody's working. They're working together. There's not a lot of the backbiting. It's been great. But we lost some players this spring that we wanted to keep, and that was a little bit troubling. But I also believe that there's some good news on the way, and I believe that that's the fact that we aggressively changed a couple of the assistant coaches, which is something that Bielema had said he wasn't going to do. He's loyal to his guys to a fault, and everybody knew that. That had been the case in all of his previous stops. But they aggressively changed a couple of the staff, so I was happy to see that. And yeah, I have kind of misgivings about this being a positive or a negative, but we moved quite a few guys off the roster, let's just say. I don't know the details of how that happened, but a lot of guys left who were not going to be contributors, which of course opened a whole lot of more a whole lot more options for recruiting. And I think that's going to continue. Matt and I disagree on how big this class is going to be this fall, but if you look at the numbers on the roster right now, we're only going to be graduating what, 8 scholarship seniors, I think it is, maybe it's 9, and we're looking at a class of 15 at least. I think it's going to be closer to 20, which means that we're kind of playing the big boy ball, which means that they are already planning for moving some guys off the roster in December in order to sign new players. And as a parent, I hate it because I would hate for my kid to be in a situation where he's sure he's going to the line, to Illinois for the next 4 years, and then find out in December that, sorry, you either can transfer out or you're going to be on a non-football scholarship and not be on the roster. That's tough to hear for anybody, but it's just the way that the college football is in this day and age.
And it's the
So,
way Division Two has been for years, right?
yeah, and
Yeah.
it's just how it is. And it's how you can maintain competitive, especially if you're not going to be taking and picking and choosing 4 and 5 star players. So I think there's hope on the way because we're playing the same game that everybody else is. And you should look for a lot more roster turnover and hopefully just a bit of a shot in the arm from these new assistant coaches too.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to come on this evening. We hope you've enjoyed this. Matt and Steve, of course, if you like their stuff, you can read it at IlliniGuys.com. $99 a year. You get all the articles, you get all the stuff in the back in the message boards. And that's where it gets really interesting because you might disagree with their assessment of a recruit and you can go out and debate it with them. Other fans might disagree with you and go back and forth. It's a lot of fun. It can be a little crazy sometimes, but that's the joy of IlliniGuys.com. So feel free to join us there. We will be back.
Have you ever tried to buy gold and silver and felt like you were talking to a used car salesman? That's because the precious metals industry is like the Wild West. Salesmen can say pretty much anything or make any promise they want without repercussion. But Genesis Gold Group is different. They're a faith-driven Christian precious metals company and believe in educating their customers, not pressuring them for a quick sale. Genesis Gold Group focuses on customer service, not sleazy marketing. Genesis Gold Group is named after the first book of the Bible for a reason. Proper stewardship of wealth is their specialty. Find out why they've earned a 5 out of 5 rating through the Better Business Bureau and how they can help you secure your wealth of retirement through physical precious metals. Call right now to learn more.
800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. 800-238-3714. That's 800-238-3714.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info in recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
A big thanks to Steve Sturm and Matt Stevens for stopping by tonight. We appreciate taking their time out of the evening to do this. And we thank you for watching or listening. If you are watching or listening, please share the podcast and share the video on your social media. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. It's the support of the people out on the front lines who share our stuff that really, really helps us. We will be back later this week with another show. Go Illini!